It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Daniel Pryor, the Sound Mind broadcast here on KCIS. Just came through Memorial Day weekend and kind of feels like the beginnings of summer, Daniel.
Finally, yeah.
Finally, and yeah. It's been okay weather, but we're looking for better weather to come. Mm-hmm. I think it's from the northwest. It's kind of like August, September. That seems like when summer finally shows up.
Yeah, we do get a bit later.
July 5th is when it shows up.
Yeah, it's got that rain through the 4th. Yeah, July 5th. You're right, Mark. That's exactly.
Kids are around. Kids are at home. Kids are causing problems with families. People feel guilty about their kids, particularly when the kids walk away from the faith. And you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I want to talk about this. It's a big issue. It happens in every family. I get a mental picture of a friend of mine who his son walked away from the faith. And as I'll repeat later on in the show here, that they don't so much walk away from our values as they are kind of an extension of our unseen errors. I envision a friend of mine doing. He said I was asking him about his son who walked away. It seemed really sad for me too, having known the family. And he did like he was holding a bow and arrow. And he said, I took that arrow and I put it on the bow and shot it. And then he does it like an arc off to the side.
He shanked it.
And, that's odd. We, as parents, we see that so often. And I'm sure that parents out there that have gone through this, they've asked themselves, wept and asked themselves, well, what did I do wrong? What could have done different? And there just doesn't seem to be a silver bullet, so to speak, in how to raise your kids. The scripture says raise your kids in the way that's right, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. But it's all, we see our errors in the rearview mirror. We didn't see them at the time. And what does it mean to, I think probably the closest that I can get to it is that if I'm walking, doing the best that I can do in following after God, then that'll be the best example for my kids. But we think we're doing that. We think we're being the best Christians we can be and the best disciples we can be. Some of the questions I think that probably cross the parent's mind over and over again is, why do our kids walk away from the family and the faith? Why do they feel they have to do that? Another question comes up, I think, in some of the more extreme cases, is it possible that child of mine is eternally lost? Mm-hmm. I think that crosses the minds of many parents.
Christians concerned with this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And how do we get them back? Because so often it seems that they aren't open to our guidance anymore. They don't want to, even talk about their own problems with us. And we're talking about not just teenage kids, but we're talking about kids now in their 30s and,
Well, in the news recently, this kid who refused to leave his parents' basement.
Saw that,
That's kind of a different problem, but in some ways they kind of say, you need to launch and get your own life going.
Yeah, and I don't know exactly, you could speak in general terms, and I think I did in a previous show about the breakdown of the culture, the loss of the culture and the loss of traditions. But, they say that, the 30s are the new teens, and sure does look that way, when you look at a lot of quarters. But there's a saying, I'm not sure, I tried to find out who said it, and I forget where I heard it, some old movie way back when, but it's kind of the prodigal story. The saying is that you have to leave home before you can go home. Mm. And sadly, that seems to be the case, but it's when they're leaving home and it's just such a hopeless feeling. It's that infernal generation gap is a big part of it. Where does that come from? Let's just talk a little bit about it.
Okay.
There's like three at least, you might come up with more if you kind of sharpen your pencil, but I can think of three right off the top of my head here. There's what's been referred to as the evolving self. that's not promoting evolution. It's just right. We can use different terms. The unfolding mm-hmm. self. Mm-hmm. You know, we become. You know, when I was a child, I thought as a child, but now, you know, now I'm older and I've put away childish things and those kinds of. You know, those kind of biblical passages, it's fine to embrace the fact that we evolve as persons mm-hmm. Through life and through experiences. And part of that evolution, that unfolding of who I am and that exploration of who I am, exactly that, who am I and who are you, self and other, that whole dynamic that must go on in order for us to, you know, be able to, you know, find ourselves in our role in the body of Christ, even in our relationship with God. And that brings with it shifts in alliances as kids grow older. You know, they become, in those teen years, they become more interested in what their peers, how their peers feel about mm-hmm. them than how their parents feel
this
about them.
This is normal.
This mm-hmm. is very normal. Mm-hmm. They, you know, a lot of times they'll come home and they'll say, the teacher said this, and almost use that as an argument against what mom or dad's mm-hmm. been saying for some time. So that's part of it, you know, just that the natural part of the evolution of that self, of the growth of that person. Another one would be growing up in different worlds. And of course, you know, our kids will say to us, and you know, dad, mom, things are different now than they were when you grew up. Of course, we know that because our generation made them different.
Mm. But that's more true than ever, I think.
It is. It is. It's yeah. becoming it's more pronounced today. The separations in the worlds are different. I've got a friend that's quoted this to me a number of times, and I can't remember the stats, but it's along the lines of, you know, what we've learned in the past 10 years is equal to, you know, centuries before. Millennia before.
You're talking just technologically.
Technologically, yeah. Mm-hmm. What we learn in a year probably dwarfs what we've learned in 50 previous years. Mm-hmm. They say that the average telephone that you hold in your hand today is more powerful than the computer that put the first men on the moon.
Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's more pronounced today. And then the third one is just the cultural increasingly hostile toward traditions.
This is the one that I think is quite different from yesterday. Mm-hmm. The society used to reinforce Christian values and a sense of modesty mm-hmm. and things in culture, but now it's just openly hostile, yeah. mocking of faith. Yeah. Mocking of family, mocking yeah. of traditional mm-hmm. family roles,
and of course those held the culture together. And so when you cast those off, the culture spirals down.
Yeah,
and so we wonder why all the anger. We've done shows on the shootings, and they continue. And you know, people want to, you know, do we need to get rid of the guns and the knives and the whatever else
cars,
they can lay their hands
everything.
On? Yeah, no, we just, you know, we're losing the culture because mm-hmm. we've turned our backs on God.
Absolutely.
Why do these young people feel that they have to reject my established values? Part of it is this age-old rage against God, you know, the book that Peter Hitchens wrote, Rage Against God. That's part of why it's increasingly so that kids feel that when they leave home, they also have to reject those traditional values.
In a real pronounced way sometimes, too. Mm-hmm. It's kind of shocking to sometimes.
Absolutely.
And that's what hurts.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We've talked about kids who change their gender, just like kids used to decide that they were going to go in the service or they were going to...
Well, I'm going to be boy now. Or
you know, mm-hmm. I forget what we used to do. I don't know, wear your pants inside out or some dumb thing like that, you know, but today it's, you know, you don't smoke behind the gym. You either cut yourself or declare yourself another gender or something.
Right.
The secular man's search for meaning, I write here, and the rejection of God always seem to be at opposite ends of the balance. It's almost like a teeter-totter where the secular man, doesn't believe that he can find meaning as long as he focuses on religion or God. They seem to be opposed in his mind. And notice that religion is generally the widest point in the generation separation. It generally has to do with values which are ultimately anchored in religion. In this culture and in many cultures, mm-hmm. it's Christianity. But you could go to... other cultures and probably don't have the same problem we have because they don't have Hollywood and the distractors mm-hmm. like that. But whenever the youth march away from the values at home, you can find that that the religion, which is the anchor to that family or that culture's meaning for life, is usually the widest point in the in the generation separation. So again, as I say, they haven't so much rejected our values sometimes. This has just projected our unseen errors. You can't pass on your vision, I have here. It has to be reborn in each generation. And so that's part of what we're seeing. The good news here, fear not, God has a plan. A lot of times it is our children not so much rejecting our values as living and living out and projecting the values that were actually between the lines. And so parents a lot of times look back and
so you're still saying though the parents have a big role in why the kids have walked away from the faith?
Well, they do.
You're kind of putting it back. I was hoping for some consolation for parents saying no.
Well, it's actually... there aren't any perfect parents, and no, we all have problems in our life. But I'm going to get to this in a minute. That this is part of God's plan too. You know, God uses evil for good, and we ask ourselves our children walking away, and we. You know, we're inclined to ask ourselves, you know, is God really in control, and do things really work out together for the good? You know, the famous verse, Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for good to those who are called according to His purpose. For those who love God and are called according to His purpose, and we can insert little three dots there and read, it kind of brings out, it highlights a different emphasis if we read it as all things work together for good according to His purpose. Mm. And so the good that this scripture verse is talking about, of course, is God's eternal purpose, not our temporal schema, the way that we see things should be, or our comfort. It has to do with God's eternal purpose. And really, we know very little about that. Even what we know of God's purpose dwarfs our intellect. And, you know, this God that we're serving and that someday we'll spend eternity to is the God who created the atomic furnaces that brought this, you know, near-infinite universe into existence. And we're going to be in the presence of that God. thankfully, with... you know, Christ as our pass ticket, you know.
Covering.
But God alone knows, I think, what each person must go through in order to affect righteousness in his or her life. So all things work together for good, yeah, but it's this purpose, it's His divine purpose. One central aspect of that purpose, then, that I want to talk about after the break here is God's, you know, unquenchable love and His unwillingness that any should perish. And so, again, He knows the trials that He must allow in order to bring each one of us into rightness, ourselves and our young people. Hebrews 12:11, no chastisement for the present seems pleasant, but grievous, but it yields righteousness or rightness. So we can count on that. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about maybe what we can do and kind of our mindset and get some encouragement
okay.
here too.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll take a break here in just a moment. If people are intrigued though, Daniel, and they want maybe some more counsel, some life coaching, how do people get in touch with you?
Yeah, call me at 425-778-6169. And people also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com.
Okay, more details and as we continue with the Sound Mind broadcast this week on KCIS.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. Where marriage is concerned, an ounce of prevention is worth a lot more than a pound of cure. Too many couples start off with misconceptions and then wait until the damage is done to seek counsel. As a marriage counselor, I help couples understand both the purpose and process of marriage, and I teach essential tools of communion. If you're married or thinking about marriage and want to get started right, contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor, looking at encouragement for parents of wayward children. And this is young children, teenagers, maybe even college age, who have just... maybe just came by for the Memorial Day get-together and something disturbed the parents. I had no idea that John now wants to be Jill or, you know, that's more extreme cases. But things like that are happening. It's very discouraging for parents.
Yeah, I find a lot of Christian friends. In fact, I actually don't know very many Christian friends that I've had for a long time whose kids have grown up, you know, straight as an arrow. We find these disappointments, and of course, our tendency is to look back on our life and say, you know, what did I do wrong? And we do make mistakes, and in some ways, our children's lack of faith. It's basically two things: we make mistakes on the one hand. On the other hand, it really is impossible to pass on your vision to the next generation. It has to be reborn. They have to go through
a
journey with God, and it has to be revealed to them. So it's two things. You know, we can't help but make mistakes, and of course they're going to see those, and they're basically a trajectory of our unseen errors, and that's unavoidable. So don't feel too bad about that. The real question now is, though, that what can we do about it? And, you know, we have to be patient, as I said before in the last set, that God uses evil for good. We see this theme throughout Scripture. Throughout Scripture, from kiver to kiver, as they say. Genesis 50, of course, is that that familiar story or account of Joseph, where his brothers sell him into slavery, and he winds up in Egypt, and then 20-some years later, he winds up, you know, being in charge of the storehouse, his brothers see him, and he says to them, you know, all is forgiven, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And so we see a theme always in Scripture where God uses good for evil. And it's worth remembering that with our children. God wants to squeeze out every possible soul from this temporal experience. The Bible says that he's not willing that any should perish. Now, some will perish, but I'm convinced, along with C.S. Lewis, that there won't be anyone separated from God that doesn't hate God. But a lot of times, it's going to take a lot in life to bring some people around. But, you know, Satan and his angels, or Satan and his messengers, will not be saved. They would refuse to be saved.
Right.
They hate God, and they hate his Christ. And men have overlooked the power of our minds to come to the place where we hate God and wouldn't be saved if we simply won't be. I was going to say, if it were free. Right. It is free. There will be people who choose to be angels of Satan, messengers of Satan. But God wants to squeeze every soul out of this life that can be saved. Mm-hmm. And so to that end, he's willing to allow us to go through pain to bring that about. And not only for the individual, but I was talking to a gal the other day, and we were talking about the children and how far they seem to have drifted from families nowadays. But at some point in God's economy, there's a person who's more lost than your son or daughter. And who will reach to that person? It will have to be your son or daughter. Each person reaches one more lost. And so the scripture comes to mind, the gates of hell will not prevail against it, where Jesus is talking to Peter and says, I've built my church on this rock, I build my church, and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. Because there are people who are lost that are behind the gates of hell, and we see it a lot. You know, I've seen these pictures of young people who have severed their tongue and punctured their bodies and cut off their ears and nose and just all these horrendous things. They're beyond the gates of hell, but they're not beyond salvation. But certainly I'm not going to be able to relate to them. It's going to have to be someone that was close to that experience himself or herself. Mm-hmm. And so God allows, the church not, or the gates of hell not prevailing against the church may require that some of our kids journey quite far before they finally get turned around.
But it is impossible. It is important, though, for parents to keep the door open.
Yeah.
How do they? I mean, to love their kids regardless, and somehow communicate that to the kids.
Yeah. And first of all, on the plan of attack here, don't let your child's misdirection distract you from your course. You have a destiny in God. And sometimes we look back. We don't want to leave our kids behind, and so we sort of hang back with them, and almost sometimes appear to compromise and accept their values. Now, this is a scripture in Luke 14:26 that kind of bears some consideration here. It says that if any man is to come after me, that he must hate his father and his mother and his wife and his children and his brother and his sisters and even his own life. Now, that seems very harsh. Let's look at the word hate. We're going to compare it with Ephesians 5:29, where Paul says that no one ever hated his own flesh. But, now this is the opposite of hate, because but he doesn't hate, but he cherishes and nurtures, etc. So the use of this word hate is not that vengeful, angry hatred that we think about when we think of hatred, but it's the hatred that is just merely turning away and almost a neglect, you know, to turn aside from that and go in a different direction. So he's saying that if you're not willing to treat those as lost, so if we can't count our children who are walked away, if we can't as I say, don't let them distract you from your course.
Do you think kids falling away from the Lord affects the family as well, so that they fall away from the Lord? Do you think it pulls them all down?
Well,
do you see that?
Well, I think that it's a temptation for parents to compromise in order to save the relationship with the child.
Okay, yeah. So watch out for that.
So don't let them distract you from your course. Okay. Your course is to deepen and enrich your walk with God. Exercise truth and mercy. Don't ever surrender your biblical values. You know, Jesus didn't point out every fault. He didn't go around pointing at the faults with the prostitutes and the publicans and the sinners. He didn't go in and point out their faults, but he was never less than the Son of God. He never surrendered those values, and he didn't have to, and that's what brought people to the light.
Now, how did he do that? I mean,
well, you know,
because we struggle with that.
You know,
it's a real dilemma.
Well, he certainly had that unique and one-off relationship with God, because he was God. But he also in his walk as a man, he was constantly in communication with the Father. So he within the Godhead, he was constantly in communication. And he said, you know, I never do anything except I see the Father do it. Mm. He was constantly. Now, we're not there, but that's what we should strive for walking out those biblical values, being close to God. We don't have to point out the faults in other people. They'll figure it out on their own. Yeah, they can't help but sense the presence of God if we're in the presence of God. That's prioritizing that child and maybe over functioning, being distracted from our own walk is counterproductive. It may sometimes feel that in moving on with God, we're abandoning our child. At the image of the Titanic sinking. I was talking to a relative one time, and you know, it's like the Titanic is sinking, and you're in the water. And this, by the way, this was an exhausting relationship at the time, because the person just would not self-correct and would not self-correct. So after counseling, and it just got exhausting. And it was like, sometimes I feel like if this is the Titanic and you're drowning, I just want to row away. You know, okay. I mean, as sad as that would be, as heartrending as that would be, sometimes it feels that way for parents. Sometimes it feels like if I really concentrate on my walk with God, it's like I'm abandoning my child in his or her pain. But remember that you can never lead out of fear. Who would want to follow that?
Right.
Your children aren't going to follow you if you lead out of fear. Now, they're truly seeking for the Christ. Mankind has in his heart a woman, every man and woman has in their heart a place that can only be met by God, and they're searching for the way, the truth, and the life. And just remember that the best way that I can point that out, the best way that I can lead them toward that is to be a disciple myself. The best disciple I can be, that's really the best light I can be for my kids. So hang in there. Deepen and enrich your walk. Don't let your kids distract you from your course in God. The better disciple you can be, the better light. And this is what will happen. God will give you things to say in in the correct season.
Right.
It'll come around. You'll have things to say. Don't be impatient. Walk your walk. Walk your
Stay
road.
Stay close to the Lord
deepen
yourself.
Deepen your relationship. Mm-hmm. Be prepared. He'll anoint what you prepare.
Give you wisdom.
The time will come around.
Okay, it is difficult when kids walk away from the faith, but be patient. Hang in there, folks. People, though, are kind of worn out on this. They need some encouragement. They need some counsel. They need some coaching. How do they get in touch with you, Daniel Pryor?
Yeah, the number is 425-778-6169. That's 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. This broadcast will be as a podcast there. And remember, the office is in Kirkland and Edmonds.
Okay, always great stuff. Sound Mind with Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.